Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marshawn Lattimore will not be playing Sunday night as the Commanders try to clinch a playoff berth against the Falcons, a team he's played many, many times in NFC South matchups as a New Orleans Saint. This was Dan Quinn today at the press conference out in Ashburn discussing Lattimore.
With Lattimore, in terms of injury, is it just a reoccurrence of what he was already dealing with?
Yes.
Okay. As far as this game goes, if he's not available to go, obviously Benjamin St. Juice had been playing a lot previously. Would it be likely that he would be the one out there, especially going up against a guy like Drake London?
It'll be a mix of people for sure. If we go that way, Mike Davis as well, you know, be somebody that would work into that spot or has been working into that spot this week. Both Ben and Mike took some reps into that spot.
Oof. If we go that way, it's tough.
Well, I think if we go that way meant if Marshawn Lattimore's out. Because he was still pretending
we knew he was.
Right. But he, at that point, I mean, he was asked earlier in the press conference, like, but you haven't ruled him out yet. And he said no. Because he was doing the shtick, like, yeah, me and Adam Peters got to go talk to the trainers.
We got to talk. We got to have a meeting. Yeah. We knew they were out.
Exactly. So when they ruled him out, it means they went that way. So now the question is, do you play BSJ or not? And his point was, multiple guys will play.
Maybe Michael Davis. Like, well, if you're going to go to Michael Davis, that does not speak well of Benjamin St. Juice.
Here's the only endorsement I will give for those two guys is I actually like the matchup a little bit of Drake London for both of them, and specifically for St. Juice.
I agree.
St. Juice is big and long and physical. Now, that gets him in trouble at times because he's handsy, and he's oftentimes on the guy he's supposed to, and he's close enough to interfere and get flags, but that isn't always a terrible sign. He loses technique and gets penalized, which stinks. But, I mean, Marshawn Lattimore got 3 PI flags thrown on him last week, too. It happens. The good corners, too. I don't like St. Just on Darnell Mooney.
Correct.
I don't like St. Just, and he's not going to be in the slot, so it doesn't matter. But, like, I don't like him necessarily on Ray McCloud.
Mm-hmm.
Drake London is more SUV than he is coupe. He is more like 18-wheeler. It's the big physical, kind of that Larry Fitzgerald, like square in, box you out kind of receiver. I think St. Juste actually is a decent matchup because of how physical he is. And in fact, if you go back, I don't have the numbers in front of me anymore because frankly, I didn't think we'd need to talk about Michael Davis anymore. But this offseason when they signed him, I looked up. There was a stat out there for like, basically the corners that were viewed as the most physical, and it was based on like the next gen chip data of like getting up on a receiver and contact during a play and all this stuff. And both him and St. Juice were like in the top 7 among corners last year. And I think that's what they kind of like the idea of. So those dudes, those bigger, longer corners against Drake London, I actually don't hate, but for Quinn to come out and basically say, instead of just giving a vote of confidence to St. Juice, to say, yeah, we'll throw a few guys at that. That tells you everything you need to know about where they are on Benjamin St. Juice.
Yeah, to your point, the article you're talking about is the 10 most physical corners. PFF had this. Of just the amount of routes run that the corner made contact. Number one in the league was A.J. Terrell last year. Number two is Michael Davis at 38.2%. Benjamin St. Juice was at 32.9%, fifth in the league last year. So those guys playing physical, I mean, look, I don't know what we're going to see out of Benjamin St. Juice on Sunday, but if you were going to pick a receiver that you wanted BSJ to cover with the lack of confidence that seemingly gone around this organization with him, it's a guy like Drake London. Not saying that Drake London's not talented, but it's that style of receiver, like you're saying, where, you know, if you go back, it's more so the guy that's going to run in routes or a post route. It's right. Nothing like last year. I go back to this when people would talk about moving him to the slot. I think it's the stupidest thing some people have suggested, because go back and watch last year when he had to try to guard Zay Flowers in training camp. He runs a little.
Last year, Zay Flowers had 120 yards in the first half against him this year.
Yeah. So remember when he tried to run a little whip route and Benjamin St. Juice just disappears off the screen when it's just in practice on one-on-one. So to me, like, if you're trying to put him on those sorts of guys, it's never going to work. But if you're going to put him on a guy who's bigger, who's not as agile as someone that's lower to the ground, Julian Edelman style, but you're going to get him a bigger bodied receiver that's going to run those routes like that. And he's got speed. Like, the reason so many people are enamored with Benjamin St. Juice is he's got the look of an elite NFL corner. He just doesn't have the skill and stuff right now to match up with it. But if you're going to have an ideal matchup, it's a Drake London. So maybe this is an opportunity to, for him to go out there and play better than he has all season long and redeem himself a little bit, because he's going to be counted on a lot.
It would be if your coach comes out and says, yeah, BSJ is going to get Drake London and we're going to sink or swim with him doing that. But he didn't do that. He came out and he's like, you know who you got to think about is this Michael Davis
Michael
guy.
Davis. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, it's not a big endorsement of BSJ. And frankly, I mean, some of the stuff, too, is like last week he gets an opportunity to come in when Lattimore's out. And it's
immediate penalty.
Well, it's a penalty. It's fourth and seven, right? And you've got to at least make a tackle.
Well, I thought you were talking about the Saints game. Remember, he played three snaps in the Saints game.
Saints game,
only
too.
Only one after halftime. His only snap of the second half on a third and long when they got a sack. Completely away from the play, irrelevant to the play. He could have just sat down at the snap and it would have been fine. And instead, he gets a penalty for an automatic first down.
Oh, and by the way, you know the receiver's name? You remember him? He's a star in the league. Kevin Austin?
Right.
Yeah, like, come on. Like, so that's the problem is...
And then past week, which you were getting to before I cut you off to go to the Saints, was the A.J. Brown play.
Fourth and seven, it's a drag route. He catches about 3 yards short of the sticks, and he's unable to get a finger on A.J. Brown just to bring him down. So... that's the difficult part with St. Juice is, like, sometimes you've seen flashes. This year, I think some of that confidence has gone away and you haven't seen him be able to do it much recently.
But don't you agree with this? For a guy that's lost confidence and for a guy who is struggling, it is really, really hard to get right as a pinch hitter.
Like, 100%.
It is easier to get right when you're in a funk, when you get to play every day and have 30 at-bats in a
Absolutely.
Week or whatever. He is now, with zero confidence, like getting pinch-hit opportunities in huge spots against dudes that are, like A.J. Brown, who's on a heater torching Marshon Lattimore, and now you come out there on a fourth down where they're running an impossible play to cover anyway. Now, the only issue I had on that play was it was a terrible tackle attempt.
Yes.
You took a bad angle, you didn't get a hand Correct. On him, but like covering up a future Hall of Famer on a drag across the whole field.
I have no issue giving up the catch there. You've got to make the tackle, right? They throw a drag route on fourth and seven. You cannot let them pick up the first down.
To me, though, if you go to him yesterday and you go, dude, you get one more shot. Like, go be a baller. Changes how everyone views you. Changes how we feel about you. Go have a great game. But instead, they're going in with this, like, Michael Davis, Benjamin St. Juice, we'll see. Like, I just don't think it sets him up
to
play well.
It doesn't, but at the same point, like, part of the reason that I felt when Lattimore came back for the two games that he has, that I would have sent Benjamin St. Juice to the bench is I don't think he's a part of the future. Right. When you look at his contract, it's done after this year. I don't think he's a part of the future.
I agree, but neither is Michael Davis.
No, he's not. But I think they kind of have moved on. And now that you're stuck, you're like, best of two options. Well, you know, I think that it's going to end up being that Benjamin St. Juice plays a majority of the snaps because that's what's happened. But you're right. I mean, I'm also not going to spend all my time trying to develop him when he's probably getting moved on from. But now you're thrust into duty again.
There is something to be said for that. But this is also where you can't just coach that week. And you've got a guy with a hamstring problem that's been reoccurring all year long.
Sure.
Like, you can't just bury a guy and say, we'll never need him again at a thin position when you're one tweak away from him being a starter, like, which is where we are.